don't either. Matter of fact, I don't even run. Oh, man. But I know if I do, I'm going to go head first into the pavement. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good.
At least we got enough to pick them up.
Well, talk about going head first. I wasn't running, but I sure went head first the other day. We was in Lowe's, and they had a tripwire up for me. And I found it. Well, it's good to be able to be here with you folks this morning. And share some things with you. It's just a few days past 4 months, isn't it? That they did surgery on me, open heart surgery. And seen the doctor the other day, and he says, you're doing great. So if he says I'm doing great, then I'm going to say I feel great. He's supposed to know. All I know is, well, how things are going. He's supposed to know whether I'm doing all right or not. But we just trust in the Lord and all. And I guess the big decision was to have the surgery was there in, they did it November the 2nd, and they come in a couple days before that, and the regular heart doctor that I'd been seeing and the surgeon, and they told me, they says, my wife was there, and I think our two kids were there. And they says, you got to have open heart surgery. And I says, no, I don't. And they said, yeah, you do. I says, no, I don't. We're not going that way. And they said, the surgeon looked at me, and he says, if you don't have it, he says, you're not going to be here a year from now. And then the big final decision came. My wife picked up the pen and says, sign the paper. You fellas know we always do what our wife tells us, right? They did it. And the peculiar thing of it is, they did it on Monday morning. I went to sleep just fine Sunday night. Woke up what I thought was the next morning and looked at the clock, and my wife, our son and our daughter were sitting there. I looked up at the clock on the wall and I says, it's 8:30. They were supposed to come and get me at 6:00. My son looked at me and he says, Dad, you already been there and done that. It was Tuesday morning. I'd never seen Monday. I don't know where it went, but I wasn't there. Well, it's something you go through, but you don't want to do it again. I asked the doctor, I says, you tell me I'm not going to be here a year from now if I don't have this surgery. I says, what if I have the surgery? Well, am I going to be here 2 years from now or a year and a half from now? He says, we can't guarantee that. He says, we'll just do the best we can. But he says, if you don't, you won't be here a year from now. So I'm at a dilemma. Why bother with it? You know what I mean? But we did. And I appreciate you folks' prayers. We really needed the prayer at that time. It was quite a trauma to go through. Spent 2 weeks in a hospital, but the Lord's good, you know. Amen. The Lord's in control. And the doctors are there. He's given them wisdom and everything, but he's the one that's in control. And he brings you through it if it's his will. Not, well, I wasn't going to. Let's turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's stand in respect of the reading of God's word, if you would, please. We'll begin with verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth cometh by Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness to us. And Lord, we most assuredly thank you for that great grace. Lord, we thank you for your great salvation that you have provided for us and for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look to your word this morning, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with me. I'd be able to speak the words that you'd have said. And Lord, that the ears would be open to your word today. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon this time in Jesus' name. And we give him the glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our key verse today is that of verse 16. Verse 16. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 23, we also find the words, It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, we find our sufficiency. We are able to do that, to accomplish that, only through Christ Jesus, no matter what it might be. In him we find every good supply for our lives, for our being, for that which he would have us accomplish. In him we are made complete. Do you ever stop to think that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not complete? You're not even alive. The Bible clearly tells us that without Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are dead in trespasses and sins. So when we receive Christ into our heart and our lives, then we are made complete. We are made complete. In Jesus is laid up heavenly treasures. I can't imagine what heaven would be like. Can you? I try and think of it at different times and ponder the thoughts of it. But the Bible really does not tell us a whole lot about heaven. It warns us a great deal about hell, but it doesn't tell us a lot about heaven. Maybe the Lord's just saving that for surprises for us, I don't know. But I got a son that's there, my oldest son. My parents are there. My father and mother-in-law are there because we had the privilege of leading them to the Lord. There's others that we've known that are there. Loved ones, friends, there. They know what heaven's like. And someday, and it may be soon, we'll be there. Or the Lord may come back and receive us all up together one time. But there's treasures there in heaven. And in the treasures is stored away. And everything that the believer would have need of in this life, there's treasures in heaven for you and me now, today. We glean those blessings from heaven, don't we, each and every day? We receive blessings of the Lord. Those are treasures that He has for us. In Him, the sinner finds forgiveness of his sin and find salvation in Jesus Christ. Sufficiency for the soul. I would like to have us consider the thoughts this morning on the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. First of all, the fullness that we have received. The fullness of essential deity that is around about us. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. There is a fullness of perfect manhood. For in Him bodily, that Godhead is revealed. In Jesus is found all the attributes of the Godhead, the whole, the fullness of the Godhead, not just in part, not partial possession did He have, not part of the glories of the Godhead, not a measure dealt out to Him of the power of the Godhead, but rather all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Jesus Christ. Right. Nothing lacking. All the fullness of divine deity, power, and the essence of God all dwell in Jesus Christ. The Godhead in its fullness took abode in Jesus Christ, the man. Took up residence in humanity, in the humanity of Jesus. Born of a virgin, divinely was incarnate Christ. Described with the prophets simply by saying, Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. And all the fullness of God dwelleth in Him. Such truth is too wonderful for the finite mind to comprehend. I can't comprehend God Himself embodied in Jesus Christ. All the power, the very person that spoke the universe into space, that caused the grass to grow and the trees to blossom, the rivers to run free, the fish of the sea the animals of this earth. All God did was just speak, and they were there. And all that power dwelled within the body of Jesus Christ. All the fullness of God. Hard to comprehend, isn't it? Yet it is forever established a divine truth. He is God in all fullness. As John proclaimed this truth, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's the fullness of atoning power in the blood of Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is nothing lacking in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Redeemer. We are redeemed through His blood. Salvation is by way of the cross through the blood because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Being justified freely by His blood. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. There are those who would have us to believe that it was because of the death of Jesus Christ, or by the death of Jesus Christ, that we are saved. Jesus Christ did die upon the cross of Calvary.
Yes, He did.
But it's not because of His death that we are cleansed from our sins. He could have died many other ways than the cross. He could have died and never shed a drop of blood. He could have taken poison. That would have killed Him. He would have died. They could have hung Him by the neck until He was dead. That would have caused death. We spent 20-some years out in the Intermountain West there in Utah and Idaho, western Wyoming, church planting ministry. And in Utah, they have two different kinds of capital punishment. Of course, you understand that is the center of Mormonism. But they have two different forms of capital punishment. One of them is hanging by the neck until dead. The old Western style of hanging. Or a firing squad. Now, a firing squad will cause you to bleed, believe me. But that is under the Mormon religion as shedding your own blood for your own sin. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ could have died many different ways and never shed a drop of blood. But He went to the cross of Calvary, suffered the agonies of the cross, shed His blood for the atonement of our sin. Folks, it is the blood that cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the power of the saving grace that propitiates me. And by the receiving of Jesus Christ as my Savior, by faith in His blood. In His blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. For without, we would have no forgiveness of sin. there'd be no provision of salvation if it wasn't for the blood. Because of the cross and the blood, God is able to save to the uttermost, the Bible tells us. To the fullest extent. God is able to save us to the uttermost. That's to the fullest extent. Them that will come unto God. The sinner is no more a sinner by the depths and the depravity and the corruption and the vile wickedness of the most extensive sin that you could think of than one who will just commit one sin. A sinner is a sinner. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
The sinner is no, at no time is he so far down in the depths of sin that God cannot reach him. No sin is so vile and so wicked that the blood of Jesus Christ can't cleanse it, can't cleanse the sinner. Then there is the fullness of victory in his death. For there is death, for through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Through death he destroyed the power of death. That is the devil. Folks, the devil doesn't realize it, or he's not willing to admit it, but he's a defeated individual already. He was defeated that day that Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. It is finished." He's defeated. He has a destiny in the very pits of hell. The power of death, which the devil possesses, is not physical death. It's not physical death, but the death which is the wages of sin.
Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The infliction of the law, the suffering of the wrath of a holy and righteous God, the eternal damnation of the soul. That's the power that Satan has in inflicting death. But when Jesus Christ died in our stead, in my stead, in your stead, when he was made sin and the curse for me and for you, he defeated Satan. Then that power of Satan was destroyed. Where it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, folks, there is victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever. There's victory in Jesus Christ. When one will just come to him, confess he's a sinner, and receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. He has victory. He has victory over the grave. He has victory over death. And he is headed for the eternal glory. There's the fullness of power of his resurrection. For by it we are begotten again unto a living hope. A living hope. 1 Peter 1:3. In the fullness of our standing, we are in Christ in heavenly places. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us and us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the mind of God, in the mind of and foreknowledge of God, he sees the redeemed already present in glory. God looks down through the ages to come. And because Ken Ream in 1965 got down on his knees and confessed before God he was a sinner and asked him to come into his heart and save his soul, God looks down through the ages to come and he sees Ken Ream already there.
Amen.
What a promise we have.
Yes.
Already seated at the feet of Jesus. But in our present state, we are pilgrims passing through this old sinful world, trusting in the blessed hope. Trusting in the blessed hope. The hope that we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. This hope is not a mere speculation of something that might come. It's not that. It is not mere sentiment or a form of something that we wishfully desire. It is a living hope. A living hope. A hope of action. It is a living hope in contradiction, if you please, from that which is dead. It is that which is vital to our eternal welfare. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our hope.
Amen.
My Savior just didn't die, shed his blood and die. But he came out of the grave. He arose from the grave. And he ascended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Hallelujah.
There's where my hope rests. You see, it's the foundation of our hope. It is a confirmation of what he declared in that where I am, there you may be also. He's in glory, and one day I'm going to be there.
Amen.
One day. The living hope is a proof of doctrine of the immortality of the soul. Soul's eternal. This whole body, they keep trying to repair the thing. But one day it's going to quit. Going to be past repairing. But I'm going to leave it here. And I'm going on to glory. Because I have the blessed hope. For where he is, there I will be also. The living hope is proof of the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. It is his pledge that all who are in him shall be raised. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And of course, the well-familiar passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Thanks be to God for the fullness of the resurrection of the Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thanks be to God for that blessed hope that we have in him.
Yes. Amen.
And then there's the fullness of triumph in his ascension. And when he had sent it up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Jesus much more than descended, he condescended. We read. He condescended. He lowered himself to humanity. He laid aside his glory and came. He came to the lowliness of earth, took upon himself the form of man, that he might suffer for man, that he through that man through him might live. I live today because of Jesus Christ, because he was willing to lay aside his glory and come down to this old sin-sick world and suffer on that cross of Calvary, that through him I might live. And when he ascended up to glory, and he took place at the right hand of the majesty on high, he led captivity captive. He triumphed over the foes, over his foes, and over our foes. He conquered that which we could not conquer. There's no way that in all my strength and all my energy and everything that I would be willing or could put forth, could I conquer or overcome sin. But he did. He did, you see. The fullness of his ascension assured me that one day, when the trump of God shall sound, and the voice of the archangel shall speak forth, that Jesus will call me up.
Amen.
He will call me up, and I, in his power and might, will ascend upward to glory, and shall be with him forevermore.
Amen. Praise God.
And the only thing we can say to that is, oh, what glory. What glory. Then his fullness at all times. At all times. His fullness of grace. Full grace to pardon from sin. Full grace. When he pardons our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no partial forgiveness. There is no partial pardon. His grace is extended to the fullest, if you please, to the fullest extent. No sin so vile, so that takes man down so deep in depravity that God cannot reach down and lift him up. His grace cannot pardon if man will not turn to him. God's grace is not going to pardon anybody of his sin unless that individual is willing to admit to God that he is a sinner, that he needs salvation. And that sinner will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, no matter how vile, how wicked, how corrupt that individual might have been, God will reach down and pull him up out of the muck and the mire and corruption of this sin and set him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he puts that sin, I like that, he puts that sin behind his back, never to remember it again. Sin that's pardoned He's not going to bring it up to me again. He's not going to say to me, remember when I pardoned that sin? Do you remember that sin that I pardoned? He's not going to say that. He's put it behind his back and he don't remember it anymore. The devil might want to bring it up to me, but God's not going to. It's been pardoned. It's under the blood.
Yes.
It's under the blood. That is the fullness of his grace in forgiveness. The fullness of his comfort. No, he is the God of all comfort. He is that. Whether it be in the time of affliction, in the time of sadness or sorrow or despair, whether it be in a time of poor health, in great adversity in our life, he is the God of full comfort. Full comfort. For he is the God that comforteth those that are cast down. No matter what the situation might be, God comforts us in times of trouble. We have the promise of his ever presence when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There could be times in our lives, folk, when we think no one cares. No one cares. There's nobody that has any consideration for me. Or I'm having so many troubles, so many problems, whether it be health or some other problem, financial problems, other difficulties of this life. And we just think, nobody cares. Jesus cares. Jesus cares, for he is a God that comforts us when we are cast down. I've been cast down several times. Several times. But he was there to lift me back up.
Hallelujah. Yes.
We have his promise that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will not. Even in the shadow of death, he'll still be with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've had surgery several times. I began to think at one point that the doctors just enjoyed cutting on me. But I had major surgery back in 1974 when we were in Idaho, had gallbladder surgery. I was there in that hospital room the night before. Don had left and gone for the evening. And I opened my Bible and it just fell open to a passage here in Jeremiah. And I received the promise of the Lord then that I was not to fear. He said, I will go with thee and will be with thee. I went to sleep that night. I was awake the next morning when they came to get me and took me down, but I had no fear. And when they did this heart surgery, that Sunday evening, knowing what they were going to do the next day, with all the peace that God could give me, I just turned over and went to sleep and forgot it and woke up Tuesday morning. He goes with us every step of the way. His fullness of His grace is always there. His grace is sufficient. See, His grace is sufficient. There's nothing more protective and comforting to a child that finds itself in distress than the loving arms of a mother. Being a dad, and we had three children, when a child fell and skinned a knee, or something happened, they run right past Dad, right to Mama. And of course, Mother had her arms wide open and comforts the child. There's something about a mother that can comfort a child and take the pain and the hurt away. And the Lord gently tells us, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. He didn't say, I will try and comfort you today. No, he said, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. In our humanity, our comfort is often feeble, isn't it? We may try and comfort another person. We might try and help them in some manner and be able to comfort them. But it's a feeble attempt. As a preacher and a pastor, I've sat many a time in a hospital and watch the last breath of an individual go out of them and turn to the family and say, and try and comfort them in their loss. But the only real comfort they can draw is the comfort that God can give. The God of comfort of the Lord exceeds from the fullness of His glory. In the multitudes of my thoughts within me, thy comfort delighteth my soul. Let us be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us behold His glory in our hearts until we behold His glory in His presence. Amen. And let us understand completely that all things that we have in Christ Jesus is to the fullness of His glory. Amen. There's nothing lacking in Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing. It pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. Are we resting in the fullness of the Lord today? Are we doing that? Have we received the fullness of salvation through the fullness of the atonement that is in his blood and through his blood? The promise of fullness in victory that we can have in a resurrected and ascended Christ. Have we experienced the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his comfort? Have we experienced the fullness of salvation in Jesus Christ? Have we done that? All that the Lord offers and provides for us is by his fullness. Pastor?
Everyone stands. We need to think about what was said. We need to take a whole lot of it to our heart. But I'm so thankful that I can depend on his fullness. I do thank him. Thank you, Brother Raines, for that message. We just pray that something was said this morning that would touch your heart, that you're willing to leave your seat and come to an old-fashioned altar.